Omorto Shen was 18 when he diagnosed his own cancer. Not long after he had moved to Calcutta for college, he noticed a lump growing inside his mouth. He consulted two doctors, but they laughed away his suspicions. So Sen, then a student of economics and mathematics, looked up a couple of books on cancer from a medical library. He identified the tumor, a squamous cell carcinoma, and later, when a biopsy confirmed his verdict, he wondered if there were, in effect, two people with his name, a patient who had just been told he had cancer, but also the agent responsible for the diagnosis. I quote, "I must not let the agent in me go away, and could not let the patient take over completely," end quote. Welcome back to Boundless Bites. I'm your host, Riten Khan, and today I'll be discussing Omorto Shen's memoir called Home in the World. The early years of the renowned Indian economist and philosopher Omorto Shen and the visionary educational institution founded by Rabindranath Tagore that influenced his upbringing. So, let's take a journey through history and explore the progressive ideas that shaped Sen's life and work. In 1901, the writer Rabindranath Tagore founded a small school called Santiniketan in rural Bengal, about 100 miles north of Calcutta. This school, later joined by the University Viswa Bharati, was established with a revolutionary educational outlook. Classes were held outdoors, fostering an atmosphere of imagination and freedom of thought. The curriculum emphasized intellectual and cultural diversity, incorporating subjects from India and around the world. Tagore, who was raised in an elite family, designed this educational approach to counter his own dissatisfaction with conventional schooling. His cosmopolitan upbringing, coupled with a personalized education from his talented siblings and private tutors, shaped his vision for Santiniketan and Viswa Bharati. Over the years, these institutions struggled financially, but continued to promote a groundbreaking educational philosophy. Omorto Shen, the future Nobel Prize-winning economist, was born in Santiniketan in 1933. His mother, Amita Sen, had attended Tagore's school and had been influenced by the liberal scholars and artists who gathered there. Sen's maternal grandfather, Kshiti Mohan Sen, was a close associate of Tagore and shared his progressive politics and belief in India's rich cultural tapestry. Both Amita and Kshiti Mohan Sen, along with the other members of their community, helped shape the young Omorto's worldview. Tagore's educational philosophy centered on fostering critical thinking and an appreciation for diverse cultures and religions. This approach aimed to develop well-rounded, creative individuals who could contribute to society in meaningful ways. For example, Omorto Shen's mother, Amita, defied social conventions by performing in Tagore's dance dramas and learning judo. This progressive environment, which nurtured intellectual curiosity and a commitment to social justice, would come to define Sen's own work as an economist and moral philosopher. Tagore's impact on Shen's life is evident not only in his educational upbringing, but also in the name he was given. When Sen was born, Tagore suggested the name Omorto, meaning immortal, a name that would prove fitting for a man who would go on to become one of the most celebrated and influential thinkers of his time. As an economist, Sen has made significant contributions to our understanding of poverty, welfare, human well-being, and social choice. His work on famines, development, and the status of women has shaped academic and policy discussions worldwide. And at nearly 90 years old, Sen remains a prolific writer and public intellectual. Born in Dhaka, Sen's life was characterized by a peripatetic childhood, where he lived in various locations, including Mandalay in Burma, Calcutta, and his family's ancestral village of Mato in rural Bengal. He was also raised at Santiniketan, where he attended Rabindranath Tagore's school. Sen's life was deeply influenced by the warmth and intellect of his extended family, who belonged to the cultural and educational elite of Bengal. Throughout his life, Sen was drawn to various fields of study, including Sanskrit, mathematics, and physics, before ultimately settling on economics. His choice was motivated by the desire to blend analytical reasoning with real-life political and social problems and have the freedom to engage in stimulating discussions at Calcutta's coffee houses and bookshops. Sen's memoir covers the first three decades of his life, touching on his childhood in Bengal and Burma, the struggle for Indian independence, his education in Calcutta and Cambridge, and the initial stages of his successful academic career. The memoir notably omits his life post 1963, focusing instead on the experiences that shaped his understanding of gender, justice, poverty, development, and social choice. Home in the World reveals how deeply traumatic personal experiences influenced Sen's work. The Great Bengal Famine of 1943, which killed millions of people, left a lasting impact on his understanding of poverty and starvation. He also witnessed religious bigotry and sectarian violence during the partition of India in 1947, which informed his interest in economic freedom and the politics of identity. Sen's memoir also highlights his intellectual journey, describing his excitement at encountering new ideas, discussing them with talented peers, and collaborating with other scholars. As an undergraduate, he delved into the works of Marx, Mill, and Adam Smith, among others, while also exploring various disciplines and literary works. The memoir gives glimpses of Sen's life as an Indian in mid-20th century Cambridge, detailing his interactions with people like E.M. Forster and Kamala Harris's parents. It offers an engaging account of his travels through Europe after World War II, debates on communism, and even his attempts to register as a Buddhist. Home in the World stands as a testament to Sen's intellectual curiosity, resilience, and generosity of spirit. It provides an enriching account of the people, conversations, and worlds that influenced him, ultimately shaping the outlook of a man who would go on to become a Nobel laureate. The early years of Omorto Sen's life were deeply influenced by Rabindranath Tagore's visionary educational institution and the progressive ideas that surrounded him. The environment at Santiniketan nurtured his intellectual curiosity and instilled in him a commitment to social justice that would define his life's work as a celebrated economist and philosopher. Omorto Sen's memoir, Home in the World, is a moving exploration of the formative experiences that shaped his life and work, offering readers an intimate look into the upbringing and intellectual development of one of the most influential economists of our time. Before we go, I like to read some passages from this book. Hope you enjoy. Rabindranath Tagore died in August 1941. I was then still at St. Gregory's School in Dhaka. The headmaster gave us the tragic news in a hastily called school assembly and declared a suspension of teaching for the day. As I went home, I wondered why the likable bearded man I knew as a family friend and who I went to see with my grandparents or my mother whenever I was in Santiniketan was so important for the world. I knew that Rabindranath was a much-admired poet. I could even recite a few of his poems, but it was not obvious to me why he was thought to be so momentous a person. I was then 7 and had no idea how radically Tagore would influence my thinking in years to come. When I reached home, my mother was lying on a sofa and crying, and I gathered that my father would be returning early from his work at the university. My 3-year-old sister, Manju, was puzzled by what was going on, and I explained to her that someone very great and dear to us had just died. "Gone away?" she asked, not quite sure what death meant. "Yes," I said. "He will come back," she said. I remembered her words when Manju died very suddenly 70 years later, in February 2011, from a short illness. Everyone around us seemed overcome with grief on that muggy day in August 1941, including relations, servants, and friends. There was an eruption of mourning. Our expert cook, a devout Muslim who used to supply us with magnificent smoked Eilish mock, Hilsha fish, came to express his anguish and sympathy. He too was full of tears, he told us, because he loved Tagore's songs. But I suppose he came mainly to comfort us, knowing that my family, especially my mother, was very close to Rabindranath. Tagore did indeed have a large presence in my life from my infancy. My mother Amita had not only studied at his school in Santiniketan, but, as mentioned earlier, had appeared regularly in leading parts in his dance dramas, directed by Rabindranath himself and performed in Calcutta. My maternal grandfather, Kashiti Mohan, taught and researched over decades in Santiniketan, and they were close collaborators. Rabindranath would often draw on Kashiti Mohan's knowledge of the Indian classics and on his exceptional expertise in rural poetic compositions set in North India and also in Bengal. Rabindranath's last speech, a thundering oration in Bengali entitled Shabitar Shankat, Crisis in Civilization, was read out by Kashiti Mohan at a large public meeting in Santiniketan in April 1941, when Tagore was too weak to read it himself. This was a very insightful speech, and young as I was greatly moved and challenged by it. Rabindranath was at that time depressed by the war, upset by the West's continued colonial behavior, distressed by the barbarities of the Nazis, and by the violence of the Japanese occupation forces, revolted by the emerging communal tensions within India, and deeply worried about the future of the world in general. I too was deeply saddened by Rabindranath's death, especially as its implications sank in. I liked him greatly as a benign, elderly person who seemed to enjoy talking with me, but I was also full of curiosity about what I was now being told about the importance of his ideas and the power of his creativity. I became determined to learn more about the much-admired man to whom I had not paid as much attention as I felt I should have done. My dedicated pursuit of Tagore's thoughts thus began just after his death and has given me a lifetime of rewarding engagement. In particular, his overarching emphasis on freedom and reasoning made me think seriously about those issues, which became increasingly important to me as I grew older. The role of education in enhancing individual freedom and social progress was among the subjects on which I found his ideas especially insightful and persuasive. That's it for today's episode of Boundless Bites. I'm your host, Riten Khan, and I hope you enjoyed our exploration of Omorto Shen's formative years and the educational philosophy that shaped his life. Be sure to join us next time as we delve into more fascinating topics and stories. Stay curious, stay informed, and keep expanding your horizons.